Welcome back to the second half of two halves of Sound Falls tonight. We've got a lot more, like I said before. Marn is turning off the lights. They all so special now. We need some chimes like they have at the symphony. The bing, 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 like the Westminster chimes, isn't it? So thanks again, drummers. That was great. Marn, you know, we have a new IGA store in town. Have you noticed that? I went in to buy some goat yogurt on Monday, I believe it was, and people were shipping boxes of paperwork out, not foods, but papers, and like, you know what's going on, don't you? I'm like, well, a lot of kind of things going on. No, here at the store. Oh my gosh. IGA is going to move in on Thursday. Well, we're going to sing this. IGA is coming right now. That's trying to give you a lead in here with the idea. You might know that the first day I ever worked, and some would claim the last, right? The first day I ever worked as a young boy, it was kind of a fun work day with my grandfather at his IGA store. So I was actually kind of glad to hear that. I'll see how they do. I hope they're doing well. I went in there and happened to keep my receipt from the first day of purchase. I bought some goat yogurt.
Take a little coffee break time. We've got a little clue that might make housework easier for you.
Just about every homeowner has plastic flowers around the house these days, but what to do when those flowers begin to fade? Well, try this idea from your IGA store owner. Wash the flowers first in warm, soapy water. Then thin down an old bottle of clear nail polish and give each flower 2 coats of polish. It promises to put a new bloom in your old flowers, says the man who owns and operates your IGA grocery store.
Take a little coffee break time. We've got a little clue that might make housework easier for you.
If you've been to Sound Falls before, you have heard those, and those are real from my grandfather's store. That's why I kept the man who owns an opera. They're from the 60s, early 60s. So when plastic flowers have not gone away, if they're still with us. So let's let's bring on the Sound Bites Orchestra for a surprising medley of tunes. And we have what is your name? The Chips? The Chips Off the Street Dancers to interpret our work. They'll be performing in front of you at close range.
Thank you.
you. Todd Powell on the magic keyboard. The mighty Wurlitzer there. Those were all tunes that you probably heard together before in a medley. They just, you know, things things just come together. And you know, we also discovered you can play just about every single disco song ever written, assuming there was a written. They're all in the same key, chord progression, basically. So you can just get the hi-hat going to bum, 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 and you got them all. The whole era captured. You can just keep playing it and go. Well, before Claudia comes up, I was thinking what early April is about. And, of course, I was listening even tonight, as you might have heard it, on the roof here at the barn, the rain and possibly sleet coming down. I went for a little run today in the sleet, and that's certainly the first few weeks of spring is about. The season's changing, of course. Well, about 15 years ago, in fact, 15 years ago, Maren and I decided to build our resumes by leaving our jobs and fitting ourselves into pencil-thin kayaks and going north to Alaska and paddle home again. It's already been 15 years. You know? So I put together about 135,000 words, hopefully in the right order, and I thought I'd take us back just for a little bit 15 years ago. It's kind of fun. For 5 months in the spring and summer of 1996, seems long ago, doesn't it? 15 years. Maren and I traveled the Inside Passage, an expedition of two, husband and wife, voyaging from our Puget Sound home to Juneau by ferry, then to Juneau to Glacier Bay by small boat. When the motors at last stopped at Seabree Island, dissolving into the great hollow of Glacier Bay, we began to paddle home. It was a long and beautiful journey, a season of bright sun and dark cloud, above average rainfall, and broad shoulders. It was a first for us in sheer length, a human-powered trip that could be measured on the globe. In portions, we navigated the Alaska Marine Highway, that's where the ferries go, where the freeway speeds average some 15 knots. By kayak, our average velocity was 3 knots, often 2. In 5 months, we spent a single day, that would be a single day, in shorts and t-shirts. Every day we learned to read the sea. We had no set schedules, and itineraries depended more on tides, winds, and weather, and our endurance than any advanced scheming. It was a homecoming of sorts, as well as a getting away, a deliberate change of pace from one set by punch cards to one set by paddles. As Maren has so often called it, it was a gradual adventure. It was a time before home ownership, before children, an open window when all we had to do was leap through, and we did. We could list dozens of journeys, warm ones, dry ones, or trips that involved something more familiar than kayaking at that time. Although we'd both developed outdoor skills through other travels, bicycling, climbing, canoeing, and countless backpacking excursions, kayaking the Inside Passage would require commitments of learning new skills, new equipment. And the uneasiness that came with this uncharted territory soon became part of the adventure. But we had a feeling that this coast was in flux, that there would be things to see that in only a few years would be gone. Its vast unlogged sections, its small communities not yet given to mass tourism, or other pockets that perhaps no one had visited in more than a century. And unlike other journeys we could have chosen, this one was connected to our lives. Paddling from the glaciers, we would conclude where we had left off, in the city. And that took on a significance all its own. The very name Inside Passage carried an intimacy and a knowing. It would be a personal voyage. As much as anything, it would be a journey home. 15 years ago. All right, that's good. There you go. Wow. Thank you. Yeah, that was quite an early spring for us, preparing to leave everything and go on that journey. All right. Well, it is at last that wonderful time to bring up this will heat up the place, so it'll be great. I'll just introduce Claudia Schmidt.
Thank you. Hello, hello. What an honor to be in this structure. This beautiful barn. It's 100 years old. I hope I look as good if I live to be 100. I'm going to do a little ditty just to start out with here one of the reasons the barn is beautiful is because it's been cared for and it's this working farm. And I live in northern Michigan, and it's an area that's very rich in community supported agriculture and food awareness and young farmers, family farms, that sort of thing. I found this verse on a pitcher years ago in New England. It was on one of those old pitcher and bowls that people washed with before there was indoor plumbing. And it was somebody, my friend who had it, said it was a birth pitcher. It had the name Francis Melsom on it. And his birth date, which was an April date, I think it was like April 16th, 1857 or something. It was pre-Civil War. And it had this little verse on it I wanted to remember. And the best way to remember words always is to put a melody to them. So this is a melody I put to it, and I dedicate this to the barn and the farm here. Let the wealthy and great roll in splendor and state. I envy them not, I declare it. I eat my own ham, my chickens and lamb. I shear my own fleece and I wear it. I have lawns, I have bowers, I have fruit, I have flowers. The lark is my morning alarmer. So jolly people now, here's God speed the plow. Long life and success to the farmer. I heard a great proverb a while back. The tongue weighs nearly nothing, yet few can hold it. It really speaks to these times, doesn't it? It's like people are getting up in the morning and instead of eating their Cheerios, they're eating their Angrios, you know? I think I'll have another bowl. Not mad enough yet. So I wrote this song in honor of the experts that tend to get us all stirred up, as if we aren't stirred up enough already. So someone just gave me a definition of expert that they'd heard at a commencement speech. X equals unknown value. Spurt, a drip under pressure. So this thing has a part for you in it. Between each verse and each chorus, you're going to be the honorary dudettes tonight. And so you'll go, da-da-da-da-da. Just so like heavy emphasis on the duh. Here, because we're just like letting it go. Try that. Great, I'll cue you when your time comes. The composure on the talking head could put your mind at ease, assuring us with manly tones of inevitable victories. The stats are in, the stars aligned, the planets on our side. Just follow these instructions. Then he stopped and stared wide-eyed. And maybe it was fairy dust or a from outer space, but a look of pure confusion washed across his startled face. Then a sigh of deep relief made his body tremble so, as he softly murmured, I don't know. I don't know. Don't you wish they just say, I don't know. Turn off the mic and say, I gotta go. Your guess is just as good as mine. Talking heart to heart. Remember, honesty's the real, true art. The question never is the crime. Yeah. It was yet another expert with a blueprint for success. Blathering through the airwaves, I was listening more or less. Washing clothes and paying bills, I was comforted to know that someone had the larger problems handled, arranged. And so I was stunned to hear his booming voice falter and subside. And listening very closely, now my shock I could not hide. For when next he spoke, his his voice came very tearfully and low. I'm so sorry, but I really just don't know. I don't know. Don't you wish they'd just say, I don't know. Turn off the mic and say, I gotta go. Your guess is just as good as mine. And then just maybe, and then just maybe you and I could start to work together, talking heart to heart. Remember, honesty's the real true art. The question never is the crime. So let's convene a conference with the title, I don't know, a celebration with no agenda of heated con or pro. First one person talking, then another, think of that, listening and responding each in turn, a thoughtful chat. Well, there'd have to be some women there, children too, of course, to bang the dumb drum when someone gets on their high horse. For the answers to the deepest questions only seem to show after a healthy round of I don't know. Da 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 da. I don't know. Don't you wish they'd just say, turn off the mic and say, I gotta go. Your guess is just as good as mine. And then just maybe you and I could start. Remember, honesty's the real, true art. The question never is the crime. Da 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 da. Once more. Da 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 da. I don't know. Yeah. Thanks so much. Well, I'm a bird person, a heavy bird person. Birds kind of always been my totem animal ever since I was a little kid, you know. In fact, I can remember this moment in my life. I was just maybe 11, right on that cusp of young womanhood and, you know, a walking nerve end. And we were at this, like, Stouffer's restaurant in a shopping center in Detroit, right near where I grew up, and there was a minor bird in a cage in the lobby while we were waiting for our table, and I walked up to this bird, and I was all ready to, you know, I was putting my finger out already to say, pretty bird, and the bird looked at me and went, I can talk, can you fly? I'm still trying to figure that one out. So I'm going to do a couple of things here. I'm going to do a beautiful poem written by Amber Cloverdale Sumrall, who took umbrage with the idea of the bird watchers who get all hierarchical about their birds and they only pay attention to the really exotic or rare ones. And you as an amateur bird watcher say, what's that over there? They say, oh, that's an LBB, which means little brown bird, which means they don't want to be bothered with it. So she wrote this beautiful piece called Common Brown Birds. I'm going to do that. And then I'm going to move into a song that I wrote a few years ago that was actually inspired by two chickadees in my backyard who were calling to each other on a winter afternoon. And I realized after a while they were calling to each other in minor thirds, a half step apart. And I found that really, it's kind of a dark interval for a reputedly perky bird, you know? So I came in the house and figured out what the notes were on the piano and started building some chords around it. And I sort of, the way I describe it is I sort of accidentally took a journey into the dark side of chickadee-dum. So first common brown birds and then chickadee blues. Puzzles and whistles like tea kettles, kitchen timers going off. Wren, thrush, towhee, finch, sparrow. As if any bird could be called common. They blend into manzanita, hide in blackberry bramble, invisible to those eyes desiring more exotic vestments. Humble as monks, in simple brown robes, they open each day with praise. Swell the air with uncommon grace. Play a little cautionary song here now. I heard a saying not too long ago, when two people get married, they become one. The trouble starts when they try to decide which one. She went without you to the movies. She laughed out loud with wild abandon. She stayed until the credits finished. That wasn't quite what you had planned on. Oh, you want her to need you. She needs you to want her. You want pure devotion, and she needs your emotion. You both want what can't be had. Looks like another love gone bad. She took herself out for a nightcap. Laughed with some strangers, made some chit-chat. She stayed out late and didn't think twice. Whoa. You take her arm and say, hey, don't do that. Oh, remember, that's what you were drawn to. You were once that stranger. Now she can't turn the charm off, and it just sets your alarm off. Now she's gone and you're just mad. Looks like another love gone bad. Ooh, oh, oh. You tried to change the things that made you happy. See where it got you in the end. You're looking at me, might you might slap me. Hey, but I can tell you the truth, you know why? Because I am your friend. Send some flowers, make a phone call. You let her know the noose is loosening. She listens hard, although her words stop. Well, she is sliding closer. You are at the ready. Everything is humming. You got your sweet love coming. Now don't get lost in the scared and the sad. Love another love go bad. Don't let another love go bad. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, don't let, don't let, don't let, don't let, don't let, don't let another love go bad. Whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah, 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 yeah. Ooh, 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 ooh. I'm all for Clint. So I've been writing songs for this musical about Amelia Earhart, a woman named Lori McLaughlin who lives around Santa Cruz, California, has been working on the book, and it's really what I love about the way she's approaching the story is, I mean, we all know about the crash and the fame and the mystery, but we don't know much about the backstory, you know, how Amelia the girl became Amelia the amazing woman for any time, this time, much less that time. So, it's the universality of what all of our lives are, you know, who walks with us on our path, who contributes to who we end up being as grown-ups, and so on. So in spite of all this, you know, all the fame she had, and she broke all these speed and distance records, and she traveled tirelessly and spoke out for aviation and feminism and pacifism, when it came down to it, she flew for the fun of it. And there was nothing was going to get in the way of that. It was her fundamental passion, and that's what I love about her. So I wrote this little instrumental, because I wanted to try to capture, I took flying lessons for a while several years ago, I wanted to try to capture somebody in their element, which in this case means being several thousand feet in the air and while feeling completely grounded. So this is called Mealy's Waltz. think about that path, you know? Who's with you on it? Who gets in your way? A friend of mine named Louisa Loveridge Gallis thought back to this moment in her life where she just knew that somebody really important in her life kind of went, you know, that little nudge. And she had this to say about it. It's called basic hygiene. Ethel Dahir always had dirt underneath her fingernails, even on Sundays, when we went to her house for pie made from strawberries right out of her garden. And coffee, well, the grown-ups drank cup after cup, while Ethel squeezed me lemonade in a tall blue glass with clouds of ice. It was fascinating the way Ethel didn't totally wash up before our visits. I'd sneak looks at those strange hands of hers, which I suppose were because Ethel lived in the country and had married a farmer during the Depression. Absolutely salt of the earth, my mom always said, as we headed away from town and toward Ethel. Reddish brown, like good rock, the backs of Ethel's hands made the teacup fingers of city ladies seem pale as slugs. Dark blue veins were rivers merging into her torn knuckles, full of new scratches and tiny scars. I'd run my eyes along those rough, lined fingers until there they were, those jagged nails, and that dirt beneath. And it left me to wonder about basic hygiene and the pie. Did she really clean those strawberries? Or had they gone into the cooking pot with just a little of the dirt left on them too? I'd go home and I'd dream of Ethel's hands, of how life had gross and fertile secrets beyond my mother's house. And I'd wake up queasy, like when I'd see earthworms' slimy bodies on the sidewalks after heavy rains. One Sunday visit, Ethel took me out to dig potatoes after a sun shower. Enough of all this chitty chat, she said. Now's just the best time to stick your hand into the earth, poke around till you find a good-sized one, then loosen it up. Kneeling, she took those mysterious fingers of hers, worked them into the ground all wet from warm and rain, just to give me the feel for digging. I fell to my knees in my fancy clothes with a sudden thirst for the earth, plunged in my arms alongside Ethel. And right in that moment, when Ethel pulled up out of the dirt, right then, Ethel's hands flew into my soul like the book of Revelation. I knew all summer Ethel wore the earth like her Sunday clothes. I got to go to South Africa about 3.5 years ago, and I only had one concert the whole 3 weeks I was there, but it was more about just being there and being useful musically. And I wrote this one song a long time ago. Turned out to be a big hit in South Africa. Who knew? I wrote it way up on the north shore of Lake Superior years and years ago. And I mean, the theme is universal and timeless. Maybe that's why it could be a hit in South Africa so many years later. Because I wrote it in a fit of frustration. I often write to get myself out of some corner I've gotten myself into, usually by thinking. And I had just come from a concert in St. Paul, Minnesota, and I'd been reading the paper that morning, and the day before my concert, there was supposed to be a neo-Nazi rally happening in downtown St. Paul, but it was disrupted by an anti-hate group who showed up with rocks and baseball bats. We are a deeply flawed species. Failed again. cannot win here. He is a pawn in someone else's game. They laugh him off as just a loser. They cannot see he'll never be the same. He stays up late, he studies harder. He learns these laws they used to break his heart. He has a wife, she too is learning. Together they will break these chains apart. Deep in the night their lamp is burning. They cannot rest, so urgent is the need. Not one more child, nor man, nor woman should know the cruel end that hatred breeds. Oh yeah, yeah, oh yeah, yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, oh yeah, yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, that's your part. Oh yeah, yeah, oh yeah, yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Our nation, and some are lost in this dark undertow. Where is the strength to tread these waters and stem despair about to overflow? It's in the hearts and minds of people who see this world as common ground for all. It's in the earth and sky forever and everything alive to freedom's call. There is a willingness to triumph over a force that tries to crush your soul. And in the towns and in the country, more lamps will burn as wounded hearts grow whole. Oh, oh, oh yeah, yeah, oh yeah, yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, oh yeah, yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Sing it out now. Oh yeah, yeah, oh yeah, yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Oh, oh, oh yeah, yeah, oh yeah, yeah. There is no simple end to hatred. It's in the fabric of this textured time. But when the threads of love are strongest, we'll weave a garment rich and fair and fine. The lamp is dark, the lovers sleep now. They gather strength and dreams which they will share. And with the sun they rise replenished. And they are rising, rising everywhere. And with the sun they rise replenished. And they are rising, rising everywhere. And with the sun they rise replenished. And they are rising, rising everywhere. Oh yeah, yeah, oh yeah. Keep it up now. Oh, yeah, yeah. Ooh, ooh, oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Whoa, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, Hawaii about 18 years ago, over 20 years ago now, and it was a very small affair. My friends, Sally Rogers, their husband Howie, and their two-year-old, Sally and I had done a couple of concerts in Hawaii, and so we had our built-in witnesses and musicians, and then the woman who had booked our concert and did a little wedding consulting for me, we had to invite her because she'd kind of been my wedding consultant, and then I had an old friend from Wisconsin who ended up being on the Big Island at the time. He was this Buddhist priest who was hanging around. So I had to invite him. He had to crash the wedding. So our little ragtag group was gathered at the Kona, the City of Refuge, south of Kona. And everything's going exactly as planned. Sally and Howie are in the middle of singing Bob Frankie's beautiful song, Beggars to God, which is the climactic musical moment of the nuptials. And at that moment, their two-year-old decided that she wasn't the focus of the entire universe, and she proceeded to get hysterical. So the whole ceremony came screaming to a halt while Sally and Howie turned to deal with their two-year-old, and we're all standing there going, whoa, what the? And and into the void steps my Buddhist priest friend and starts delivering this poem, which wasn't part of the plan. And it turns out it was written by his grandfather, Waldo Pondre Warren, in 1922, who was this free thinker, ran with Bucky Fuller, and it was the perfect thing for the moment. And while the marriage is no longer relevant, the poem is deeply relevant. So before our final song here, I wanted to pass this on to you, because I just think it's great, and it still represents, it's been so wonderful to be a part of this whole scene, this community, and what Byron and Maren are doing. It's a beautiful thing. It really is. You're so lucky. You're so lucky to have this. What shall I give to you, my friend, to express my love and goodwill? Shall it not be a part of myself? Then let it be the very best part, which is the secret of all my gladness. The rarest treasure I possess is the conviction that life is good, that it has abundant compensation for every trouble that may come, that it has possibilities beyond all you have ever dreamed, that among even the very least are capacities beyond the greatest yet expressed within our ken. The great surges of power and joy are eager to course through us and reveal a life transcendent. Tears of joy often fill my eyes. A wonderful feeling at my throat, thrills that almost pain my bosom, and my heart sings to the stars. If I could make you feel that way and hold it through all the years, that would be my gift to you. All right, at this time, I would like to invite up to the stage Miss Maren herself and Miss Jean. Where's Miss Jean? Is Miss Jean around? And then Tracy, is it? Stacy is going to come on up, and we're going to do this song together, but that means together with you. We're going to show you how it goes. And the thing that got me when I was in South Africa, I got to spend 3 days in this little tiny village out on the Indian Ocean called Hamburg, and it was smack in the middle of the singing culture in Africa. Oh, yeah. Come on up, too. Come on. And I mean, it was just everything all day long. It was, as somebody would say, you know, pass the salt, and it would be like there was a pass the salt song that everybody knew in three-part harmony. And I was just levitating. It was so fantastic. And so I came back all re-energized about group singing, you know, because we've kind of gotten away from it. And I mean, look, the way I figure it, a guy can walk down the street or blabbing away on their cell phone or their Bluefang or whatever, just like blabbing away out into the air, nobody thinks anything of it. And if you or I burst into song, people's heads swing around like, what? And so I'm all about shifting that energy. That's what I'm here for. Now, we're going to kind of go into two sections here, and you're with me, and you're with them. And, well, actually, why don't you all be with them on the verse? And in the chorus, you be with me and you be with them. So we kind of divvy it up. In the verse, I'm going to sing, ba-da-dum-da-dum-da-da-da. And then you're all going to sing, under a promising sky. Try that. Under a promising sky. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And then under a promising sky. So in the verse, you're all doing that. In the chorus, you're going to go with me. Promising sky. And you're going to go, we're walking under promising sky. Lightning and thunder, promising sky. Here comes the sunshine, promising sky. It's yours and it's mine. So anyway, now we got it. Every step we take is on sacred ground here. Someone or something lived and died all around here. Promising sky, well, promising sky. Promising sky. Sky. out the past and breathe in tomorrow.
Under a promising sky.
Oh, today's just a moment's taste of joy and of sorrow.
Under a promising sky.
Oh, oh, it's a promising sky. Promising sky. Promising sky. Promising sky. The ancestors' voices try to call us home.
Oh,
but the cries of the children won't leave us alone.
Woo-hoo,
it's a promising sky. Promising sky. Promising sky. Promising sky. So we're caught between the earth and the heavens above.
Under
the best we can do is fill the space with love.
Under the promising sky.
Whoa, whoa, it's a promising sky. Promising sky. Promising sky. Promising sky. You are an angel when you open your heart. Oh, you don't need wings to make a brand new star. Yes, it's a promising sky. Promising sky. Promising sky. Promising sky. It's a promising sky. Promising sky. Promising sky. Promising sky. It's yours and it's mine. Thank you. All right. Now we're going to gospel. Okay. Gospel. Which one? Brian, you want to use this one and we'll come over. Why don't you come over here?
Claudia Schmidt, everyone. Thank you, Claudia. Wow.
Woo!
Don't you get involved here? Thank you so much. Well, you know, that is Sound Falls for tonight. We have a whole list of people that I'm going to read through here to thank tonight, including all of you, of course. You know, we've got Claudia. We've got Gene and Bill. Rally is over there. I think where'd you go? There you are. Todd Powell on that magical keyboard like we talked about. Of course, earlier, John and Rowan and Kat were playing for us, first of all. The drum circle, Sarah, Carol, Patty, Stacy, Linda, Lee, Jules, Kayla, and Hannah was in there, too. And the crew, that's the people who roll up their sleeves and make it happen behind the scenes. Mr. Roger Thorson and family, the proprietor of the tree farm here, as you heard about. John Coates over here, the master podcaster, sitting in the corner recording tonight for us. Jim Hermanson on this side doing some video work for us. Stacy again with the concessions. She helped out a lot of those. And Kelly Hines as well, over at the door. Rhoda, Patty again, John Kraft, and Kirsten Berg, our whistler. She's set up, and that's the news. So let's take us out, and thank you very much for coming. Oh, you know, there's that other special lady on the side there, Maren Van Ostrand. She put in time and time and time and time on this show, getting everybody together. And
I love it.
Really,
I love you all.
She is that connective thank tissue you. That brought this tonight. So thank you, Maren. Thank you.
Byron, thank you. The inspiration.
All right. Have a good night, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
I'm going to be out on the Northwest Coast for the next week or so. I'm going to be in Portland next week. I'm going to be in Bellingham on Friday and Olympia on Saturday. So if you have pals who live around here, tell them to check my website calendar. It's claudiaschmidt.com. And I've got a bunch of CDs back at the back table, too. Ask us Gene. So, yeah. So, take a little swing by on your way out.
This is our...